Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is the show where we take a film remake and we compare it to its original source material. This episode is a little bit different in that we're actually taking a look at two movies that are supposed adaptations of a real-life incident. The movies are Rahasya from 2015 and Talwar, also from 2015. Joining me on this episode is Miss Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com. Feel free to check out her site. She is one of the most well-informed Bollywood movie critics that I personally know. It's always insightful. Her perspective on Bollywood movies are completely different. Even if you've been watching Bollywood movies all your life or you want to look into a entry point into the industry, accessbollywood.com is your perfect choice. So without any further ado, join Kathy and myself in comparing these two movies and episode 16 of the Split Screen Podcast. Hi, Kathy. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing, Chow?
Not too bad. It's been a while.
I know. I think it's been March since we last recorded something.
Yeah, it was Rocky Handsome, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So much has happened since then. So much. How have you been?
I've been good. I'm back from 2 weeks in lovely Florida.
Nice. Very nice. How was that? How was the weather there?
It was hot.
Yeah? Consistently hot, though?
Consistently hot. Yeah, it's very predictable. Okay. That's the nice thing about Florida in late June, early July, is it's like 88 to 92 degrees every single day with occasional rain.
Predictable in so many more ways than just the weather.
Right? Exactly.
Okay, but yeah, it's been so weird. We get like crazy heat, mm-hmm. and then we get like crazy rain, and then it drops to like 10, like just one random weekend.
Yeah.
And then we're back up like 32 by Monday. So it's like, okay. Water lawn? Not water lawn? What?
Well, that's been the weird thing about coming back. You're so used to it being exactly the same. And in Illinois is the same way as Toronto, I guess, where it's like all of a sudden it's like 30 to 40 degrees cooler than it ever was while I was in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I'm not going to complain about summer because our winters go to like fucking May.
Yeah.
So I'm not. Yeah. Woo, summer. Sun God Ra. So this episode is going to be kind of strange, but it's going to be a curveball for sure. So for people that don't know, this is Split Screen Podcast. This is where we compare movies that are remakes of other movies or books or comic books or, you know, TV series, whatever. This time, though, the movies we're going to be talking about are essentially based on one real-life incident, allegedly, for one of the movies. So first we'll get into the movies. And the weird enough thing is, Kathy, you've reviewed both movies. I've obviously seen both movies. They're both good in their own way.
Yeah, and I even watched them both a second time to remind myself for this podcast. And they both hold up really well. I mean, one slightly better than the other, but... But yeah, they're both good movies about a really compelling real-life murder case that is, I don't know, ripe for fiction. So.
Yeah, and we'll so I spent, so last year, I mean not last year, like earlier this year to late last year, I was really caught up in this whole thing. I saw one of the movies we're going to be talking about is Talwar. Both these movies essentially came out in varying times of 2015 with to various levels of critical and commercial success as well, mm-hmm. which is part of the controversy. But we're going to talk about the movies first just to kind of get an idea of what these are and how they did before we get into the actual controversy of it all. But Talwar, I remember when I first saw the trailer for Talwar, you know, somewhere it said based on true story. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I was doing a write-up for my site. And I'm like, well, because I always like to get, you know, I like to know more about everything before I kind of, you know, talk about anything. Mm-hmm. Not always. Because snap judgments are fun. So I read up on this thing. And literally for like a week, I went down this crazy rabbit hole. If you go onto the Wikipedia page of this real life incident, which I'll link in the show notes, it's like pages and pages of intense legal details, you know, crime scene investigations, dates, and it's like you're reading a case file. And so for a week, I was completely enamored with this, and it just raised my interest level so much more. And then I find out there's another movie, and then there's like a real life controversy based on the movies alone of the real life murder case. So it's just like, you know, like my wet dream, basically, right? So we're going to be talking. So we'll start off with, we'll go chronologically, okay? We'll go with Rahasya, which I believe was released earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, that was released in January, and then Talwar came out in October.
And Talwar premiered as part of Toronto International Film Festival.
Right.
So let's talk about Rahasya first. Kathy, you want to give us a quick synopsis of Rahasya?
Well, both of these movies are based on this 2008
yes
Noida, is that how you
yeah mean? So sorry, let me just briefly set the stage. It's a failing on my part. So both the movies are based on this real life murder trial in India in 2008. It's basically known as the Noida double murder case. Essentially a case where a 14-year-old girl is found murdered in her own home. The prime suspect at the time being the helper, or, you know, like the maidservant of the house, which is this 45-year-old man. But eventually he was also found later murdered in the house, you know, in a different place of the house the same day. And essentially through multiple investigations by various branches of, you know, the police, the CBI, which is like India's FBI, basically. Essentially, there was accusations of, you know, the initial first responders not handling the scene properly, the evidence wasn't collected properly, to corruption in the later levels of, you know, the investigation, to favors being traded, a lot of, you know, misjudgment or just failings on the part of the system to adequately determine who the murderers were. Ultimately, evidence pointed to the parents of the girl, and currently, as we speak, they are serving a life sentence. I believe it's a life sentence. Yes, serving a life sentence from 2013, that is when they were sentenced, and they're currently in jail right now for essentially the murder of their own daughter and this other man. Although, even the real life case itself, there's a lot of things that are up for debate, there's a lot of things that are up for arguments. And essentially, like you said, ripe for fiction. Mm-hmm. So that's what both these movies are based on. Although one possibly not, or allegedly is. Again, we'll determine that by the end of the show, and then you can watch the movies yourself and make your own mind. But the movie that essentially, one of the movies that was released first, is essentially Rahasya, which, take it, Kathy.
So Rahasya came out, as we said, January 2015. It was the first one, and it, from what we can tell, it was probably the first movie that was... it came in under production first. It was working on it both in development and in release. It's the first movie that came out, written, directed by Manish Gupta. And this uses the framework of this case. You know, a girl is murdered. She's a little bit older in this, in Rahasya. She's 18 years old. She's found murdered in her own home. And we see it starts right with the murder, with her the discovery of her body by the maid servant in the family, or the female maid in the family, I should say. The male house servant is missing. The dad is home, and he's drunk. And the mom comes home to find all this and discovers all this hullabaloo.
And also just, I mean, the movies are fairly recent, so we won't be getting into spoilers right now, because essentially they are murder mystery movies.
Yeah.
So we're just, again, none of these are spoilers. Most of what Kathy's saying happens in the first, you know, five minutes of the movie. They're in the synopsis. Even the poster for Rahasya says, "Can a father kill his own daughter?" Question mark. So none of these are spoilers. So again, we will discuss spoilers later on when we're talking about the controversy, but for now, don't worry. You can still watch the movie and enjoy it. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
So the setup, the setup is the police initially determine that it was the father who did this, but there are questions about it because the police are kind of jerks. They're not totally incompetent, but there's all these other like mitigating factors. You know, did the girl have something to do with the manservant who's missing? Mm-hmm. Did she have a boyfriend? Was it the boyfriend who killed her? Was it the husband of the woman with whom the father was having an affair? Was it, you know, it, like, there are so many suspects. This really is like a total police procedural, like a great episode of Law and Order or something like that. And it's there's a ton of suspects, and about halfway through the movie, K.K. Menon shows up as a quirky detective who gets better as the movie goes along. I like K.K., so I was a little more forgiving of him, but he's kind of off-putting and weird when he first shows up.
Yeah.
But he's not convinced that the dad did it. He thinks that there's something more going on, and so it's through his investigation that that's where we follow all the threads of, was it the boyfriend? What's the story with the maid in the house? What's, you know, this and that? And so it's really, I don't know, it's a more fun movie, if, you know, not to say the murder mysteries are fun, especially. We should acknowledge, yes, two people died in this real life situation, and so, you know.
But I mean, ultimately, like, it's a movie, right? I mean, no matter where the basis or the inspiration comes from, at the end of the day, it's a movie. So you can't really write off a movie for not imitating real life, but B, also, it's a movie. There is an entertainment factor to it, which has to be taken into consideration.
And what Gupta says too is that he described it as being like an Agatha Christie,
right?
Because it totally is. There's so many different possibilities, and it isn't until the end when KK does his, like, wrap-up.
Right.
Was it you?
Which
was
is amazing,
you? It's more fun, and it's... I liked it. I mean, it's successful in that sense where you don't really get the sense that this is... It's not true. They're not trying to tell the truth. They're just having a good time.
And it's also... I mean, even the way the movie's made... What initially at first glance looks like is just over the top, unintentional kind of aspects. Like, you know, every character, whenever there's a shot on a character, there's this music, and everyone looks. It's like it's the Simpsons shifty eye dog syndrome. You know what I mean? Where everyone's suspicious, everyone's a suspect. You know, anytime you see someone, you're like, it was her, or it's like it was him, and it's like it was that chair, and it's like, wait, what? But there's like this, you know, buildup of music. There's you know, so you never know who it is. And again, initially you're like, oh, this is stupid, but then you realize, oh no, they're doing it on purpose. It's literally like, you know, like dinner theater almost, but in a movie form, you know, where, and then again, like you said, the climax is all the characters in a room and the detective going, oh, tell ya who did it. So, and then he takes him through everyone's story. And it is a throwback. Like you said, and the director said he's influenced by these older directors, by these classic movies. It seemed like a kind of a throwback where, because at first, again, I was really turned off by it. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is there this annoyingly glaring music anytime someone shows up? You're not even trying to be subtle at this point.
Yeah.
But then I realized, oh, okay, no, that's what they're going for. That's the whole point. Like, and that's why he comes on and he's this loud, overt character. When everyone else plays their part pretty genuinely, where he comes in, K.K. Menon comes in and he's like, you know, I'm the hero now, bitches! You know, so it seemed very, I enjoyed the movie on a totally different level than I enjoyed Talwar.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really compare. Quick background. So Manish Gupta, the director of this movie, he's done some other movies also based on real life incidents, apparently. But the most interesting credit that he has is he wrote Sarkar, which is one of my favorite all-time Bollywood movies ever, a remake of Godfather, which we covered on an episode before. And also, his debut was by writing a movie that I keep telling you to watch. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but he wrote D.
Right.
Which was our boy's debut, Randeep Hooda's debut. So,
right.
But the thing is, if you look at his credits beyond that, as he gets, you know, more experience, it's underwhelming.
Yeah.
And based on being the writer for those two movies, when I find that out and I look at Rahasya, I don't feel like it's his best work.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's also directing it. So, I mean, again, the movie definitely could be a lot better, but for what it is and what it tries to be, I think Rahasya really works.
Well, it brings up an interesting case of, again, the tendency in the Hindi film industry for directors to also write their own material, which is not how Hollywood works generally.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, is there a case to be made that maybe you're better off just being a writer? And it's Karan Johar always mentions that Bollywood doesn't give enough credit to writers and doesn't give them the accolades they deserve, and that maybe movies would be better served if writers were considered celebrities on the same level as directors.
Right.
So
But and in Hollywood, that's such a. I mean, I just saw a thing, the other day about Aaron Sorkin, how he's teaching, you know, masterclass or whatever it is. And you look at that guy and his career. He's a writer.
Yeah.
And his entire career, he's. I mean, sure, he's done other stuff, but you look at his credits and you're like, oh, he wrote this, and that's what he's known for. Whereas he's at par in terms of celebrity fame as any other filmmaker or star, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you just, the more, in some ways, the more people you have interpreting material, perhaps the better you can refine it to get at the essence, rather than if you have just one person who's directing it, it kind of goes off, you know. No, there's no one to stop a writer and director from going off in the wrong direction. There's no men in the room. And at least if you've got different people working on it, maybe you have chances to perfect things.
And there's also, I mean, on the flip side, there's also the case to be made when directors start writing their own movies. And sometimes you take a look at that and you go, you know what, this writing could have really benefited from an actual writer kind of working with you, or kind of just redoing a draft of the script. Mm-hmm. Whereas you're a great director, but, you know, the characters weren't built so properly, the plot points weren't, you know, as tight as they could have been. So I think it works both ways, but definitely in Bollywood, writers do need their due.
And let's take Vishal Bhardwaj, my favorite director, probably my favorite director, period. Is more his best movies are the ones that he's adapted from Shakespeare or from the guy who wrote Seven Kumov, the original story for that.
The Russian, this, I don't know, I don't even remember the name and I can't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try.
I have it behind me and I'm totally forgetting it. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, the point is that he's able to do such great things as a director because he's adapting other people's material. But anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, well, I mean, it's the weird thing is you bring up Vishal Bhardwaj, which is the perfect segue.
There you go.
See, he works in so many ways. But the next movie, essentially, is the movie that came out in October of the same year as Rahasya. It came out, it debuted at the Toronto International Film Festival, so a larger spotlight, a huge kind of platform for this movie to come out. And unlike Rahasya, where the only lead actor was Keke Menon, that is noticeable, that it, you know, you can call any sort of, you know, famous actor. Mm-hmm. There's other characters that you'll recognize too, but he was technically the most known face of the outcast.
He's the only leading man for sure.
Right. So Talwar was, again, came out in TIFF. It stars Irfan Khan. It stars Konkana Sen Sharma and a horde of other very familiar A-list supporting actors. Do you want to give us a quick rundown of the premise of Talwar, even though it was based on similar stories?
So Talwar more explicitly tries to claim to be based on the original. And where it differs is that it starts, whereas KK isn't introduced until halfway through Rahasya, Talwar starts with the investigator who comes in, the CBI investigator played by Irfan. And we're introduced to him right away, and already at this point, the investigation has spiraled out of control, and his friend, who's the outgoing CBI director, says, I've got 30 days before I retire. I want you to try and wrap this up, or I want you to figure out what's going on. So we meet him right away, and then you get these flashbacks. The great thing about Talwar is there's different interpretations of the crime, and you see that. It's kind of like the movie Rashomon, where first we see the crime as, like, in the most basic details that we've seen, what we know about it is that a mother wakes up, the mother, Konkana, goes to let the maid into the house and finds, during the course of this, while the maid's coming up the stairs and all this stuff, she and her husband find their daughter dead, her throat slashed, in her own bedroom, and their daughter is 14. She's younger than the girl in Rahasya. And the male servant of the house is missing. And so that's what we see first. And then you see, it's basically told as Irfan reads through the police reports. What did they find? What do they think happened? Then he goes back and takes another look. And at that point, then you see a recreation from his point of view, or at least his interpretation of the events, what he thinks happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this three times, and it's really effective. Every time a new investigator comes in to look at the evidence, the morning of the crime scene plays out again. And it is really, it's jarring in a way that Rahasia isn't. That this is really emphasizing that this girl died. And it's, so you see it every time, and it's really effective. And this winds up being the case where the initial police investigation assumes one thing. He finds out something else, and because of political reasons, then Irfan is bumped off the case. And another investigator is brought in and who finds something different. And it's heartbreaking because of the girl's death, but it's also heartbreaking because of the way that personal lives and political motivations of investigators can influence essentially the truth, or the truth that is made public, the public version of the truth.
And also at the end of it all, it's you're just the parents, essentially, is they end up, again, like we said in the original, you know, in the real story, the parents get, you know, sentenced for life imprisonment. And like you said, Talwar is a really close, it follows really closely what actually happened in the real life incident. It is a more overt and explicit version, you know, remake of the true story. And the parents, man, like, you empathize with the parents and what they're going through. The movie takes a lot of time to take you through the kind of psychological state of mind that these parents are in, mm-hmm. And then what happens to them externally. It's really heartbreaking, and this movie has everything that kind of Rahasia doesn't. It's got the political intrigue. It's got the, you know, the feelings of conspiracy happening. It's got the red tape and the frustration of, oh my god, mostly expressed through Irfan Khan's character. And the theory, the story is a lot more dramatic as well, right? It's mm-hmm. told like a movie. It's, you know, you've got a plot device. You've got the concepts of the three different versions being told from three different perspectives as the investigation changes hands. You even get to see Irfan Khan's personal life,
mm-hmm.
Where Tabu makes an appearance, and Tabu is famously known for being Irfan's co-star in movies like Maqbool, and she's done some other stuff recently like Drishyam and things like that. So Tabu's in here for a few minutes. And again, it doesn't, not that that really adds to the story at all, but it gives you kind of, it rounds out the character of Irfan Khan, mm-hmm. where you get a sense of, this is also a real life person, and he's investigating a real life situation that's happened to real people. It just makes the story a lot more interesting overall. I love Talwar for reasons completely different than mm-hmm. how I like Rahasia. Talwar is more of a movie. It's more of a solid piece of writing with solid performances. There's no throwback elements. It's a dramatic movie. You can see why it got selected for mm-hmm. TIFF, because it is a universal story as well. Like, you don't have to know certain things about the Indian, you know, authority system to understand where someone's being a dick and where someone's being, you know, shrewd or cunning or clever. Really cool. I loved it. I can't talk about Talwar enough.
Yeah. I think even just, it hooks you, you know, Irfan is great. We're supposed to empathize with him anyway, because like you said, he's a big star. But that, when he first starts looking through the evidence, the police investigation, that those early scenes are so wonderful, because the police investigation is a total cluster.
Yeah.
Everything goes wrong. And as soon as you watch it, you're like, you say, what the hell's going on? Because,
yeah.
they find the girl's body. And then when you first see the original police enter the scene,
God.
Already, like, a dozen neighbors and family
yeah.
members, like, sitting in there. Like, no, their apartment is the murder scene.
Yeah.
You need to get everybody out of there. And so, like, the scene's already been contaminated by the neighbors. Then the police are just horrible at it. And they're ignoring evidence, just, like, picking stuff up and touching it and, like, not taking fingerprints when they should be, not noticing other stuff. They find blood on the stairs.
And they just dismiss it.
It's like, dismiss it. They're like, oh, it's probably from something else.
But the thing is, what I really liked about this movie is that, unlike other movies, they don't, it's like, so even though there was a lot lacking from, like, the original investigation by the cops, and you see from, like, the get-go that these are idiots. They're out of their element. This is way too big for local city cops. You know, this is not what they're used to handling. I like that it wasn't just dismissed as, oh, they're dumb, or yeah. they're stupid. There was there was a certain logic to the proceedings. Like, and again, and they do investigate. If you think about it, in their limited capacity, there's that scene where the two cops are in the precinct at night, in the dark, and they're going through the case files and stuff. They do investigate, and based on their own, again, you can question the quality of their logic or, you know, how they got there, but they are doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. They do come up with, you know, a conclusion. They do kind of do some investigating. They do. So I like that it wasn't just that they didn't show the cops as just being, you know, inept. They did what in their limited scope they could do. The guy was always on the phone. He was getting calls from a superior. He was always getting pressured, you know. So I get how he just kind of dismisses certain things. He's, you know, he has to tell the photographer guy. And again, it didn't seem like, oh, this guy's incapable of doing his job. It's just that his job, this situation is beyond the scale of what he's probably used to dealing with.
Right, this is a big time case, and he's just a local guy, you know, local cop. And not to mention, they also have in this version of the story, there's an employee of the girl's father,
right,
who has a grudge against him, and so he's the one feeding these cops this line that, like, oh, maybe the girl was having an affair with the manservant to get back at her dad. Maybe the dad's been engaged in wife swapping.
Exactly.
Which is hilarious, because as soon as wife swapping comes up, you're like, all right, this is game over. There's no way anyone ever gets convicted of this, right? Is what you're thinking, because it's just so outrageous and stupid. But they've got this guy, and they're like, well, I guess it sort of makes sense, and especially if we, you know, the local police department, want to just wrap things up, that seems as good as anything else, and we can't really prove anything else right now, so that's what they run with.
And also gives you, like, an understanding of, like the implied kind of process of investigations. When you take a look at, you know, shows like Law & Order, for example, you get to see every level of the process, right? You get to see where they get the smallest lead from the most insignificant person. And then when someone follows up on that, they get something else, which snowballs into a massive lead that they kind of follow up on with, and that makes the case, right? So
right.
I like that this movie did that. And for an Indian movie, you don't really see that a lot, except for, like, for example, like Anurag Kashyap movies, maybe. Whereas usually in Bollywood movies, there's always, like, pomp and circumstance, right? There's always, like, a show. There's always one person that comes in and is like, I have the answer to everything, right? Whereas this movie really shows that, if a person was inclined to do so, they could really manipulate things, because you see that employee isn't talking to the big head of the investigator. He's talking to, like, the lower level constables and stuff. You know, he's riding along with them. He's giving them information on different days and different steps of the process. So you get how this constable then comes up to his boss and goes, I found something really important, you know? And it's like broken telephone, right? You see other people in every step of the process kind of piecing together parts of the story they think they know. And then the main cops reach a conclusion that's completely so far off base. And also, there's no accommodating for trauma, which is the one thing I love about not just movies, like, in our culture, too. When someone's sad, you know, like, I mean, we in Canada, wherever, we know people react to different things in different ways.
Yeah.
But I love how in India, and especially in this situation, it's like parents just lost their daughter just died.
Yeah.
And they're fully, like, they're critiquing the way that they're reacting. It's like, well, you don't look sad, therefore you must have something to hide. And it's like, wait, what? How? What kind of investigative logic is that? Like, it just makes no sense. Like, I think it's, like, amazing, where it's like, can you talk to me? Can you not yell? It's like, fuck you, my kid just died. Don't fucking tell me not to yell in my own house.
And then it plays out great in the course of this movie, where by the time the third investigator comes in, Paul, who is great, because they criticize Irfan, because they're like, well, you probably can't do your job because you're going through a divorce, you know, and you're bringing your personal life into this. Meanwhile, Paul's like, I can't find a babysitter. My wife's out of town. Can I bring my kid to the crime scene? And so, it's great, because then you do get to see, though, all, you know, these traumatized parents. In Paul's version of the story, they're these cold, calculated murderers. And so it's really fun to see Konkana, who, you know, we don't see very often in Hindi movies anymore, her and then Neeraj Kabi, who plays the father of the girl, seeing both of them being, you know, go from totally traumatized to these cold, calculating killers, And it's that's a lot of fun too. So that's what I really liked about it. I think one of the big takeaways from Talvar versus Rahasia is Rahasia, it's very clear, cut and dry, here's what happened. And Talvar is almost making the case in some ways, like, we can't possibly know what really happened, that there's no way to prove it. Even if we all kind of, quote, you know, air quotes, know mm-hmm. what happened, you can't really prove anything because the evidence has been, you know, contaminated, everything was investigated improperly, all these different things. And so you just kind of have to make peace in some ways with, you know, that maybe, what is it? Because Talvar means sword, right? And you have to sort of make peace with the fact maybe that the sword's not going to fall on anybody in every case.
The sword of justice, basically.
Yeah, the sword of justice. Yeah, that she's got a, justice has a scale in one hand and a sword in the other. And that, you know, in some cases like this, maybe no one can be prosecuted for it. I mean, that's not what ultimately happens in the real case. The parents are in jail, but it's just an interesting take, and it highlights the frustration, especially the frustration that probably that undoubtedly so many families feel who have these unresolved murder cases and never get justice because it just, you know, in a democratic system, you just can't. Some things just don't have answers. So.
Yeah, and then that's a good. I mean, let's now, speaking of the system, speaking of, you know, like the situation and other families, let's talk about, we're going to now talk about the actual controversy regarding the real life incident surrounding these two movies. It's like, I guess it's like meta versus fictional versus meta again. So just for now, this is where we get into spoilers. So from here on in, we will be discussing specific plot details, plot points, including even the climax of both these movies, Talvar and Rahasia. So be warned, if you haven't seen either of these movies, please skip to the end of the show to get our Twitter handles and other contact information. So, I'm going to give everyone a quick rundown, a bit of a more detailed rundown on the controversy of what happened. The thing with the 2008 Noida double murder case, the biggest issue was with this case was the fact that ultimately the parents became the prime suspects. They were eventually convicted and essentially are in prison serving a life sentence. Since then, the entire family of this, you know, of this young girl that died, her parents are in jail, their family, their extended family, have been launching this campaign to essentially get the word out, to prove their innocence through other means, even though, I mean, I'm sure there's an appeals process, I'm sure that everything's pending in court. In situations like this, there's always appeals, no matter what. So there's this huge campaign by the family to essentially get, you know, the truth out. The movie, the case itself, like I said, you go down the rabbit hole. In Talvar, like we saw the different versions, there's almost evidence to support every single version of the story. But then there's also evidence that dismisses every other version of the story. So it's really, it is a real-life case of whodunit. The one damning thing that I find, like I said, I went a week into this. the damning thing I find that was in Talvar, and again, in real life, this wasn't admissible by the courts, is there's a situation where, more so than a lie detector test, it's essentially like medicated lie detection test, where the person is sedated with drugs in like kind of like a waking sleep situation.
It's like sodium pentothal, isn't it? Like
truth serum, basically, yeah. So it's essentially that kind of situation. They're hooked up to machines, you know, truth or lie, and they're they're put under with certain combo of drugs, and then they're asked, then they're interrogated in their, you know, kind of weird druggy state. So the weird thing is, both the mom and dad went through this. Their results came back as, you know, not, they were telling the truth, nothing's wrong, there's no kind of blemishes. But then, when, again, this is, I'm talking about the real life case, not the movies. When the servant, the person that we said in Talvar was feeding information to the cops, when that character, the disgruntled employee of the dad, was put under, he gave information that the investigations didn't find thus far. He talked about how he was there that night in their house with other guys, friends of his, and essentially he outlines how they committed the murders, both of them, and their motive for doing so. They were drinking, they got drunk, they wanted to, you know, bring it in the girl's room, the servant found them, killed both. And then, we have two new suspects at that time. The police went, picked up those guys, put them under, gave them the same test. They all confirmed the same thing. there's some details that varied here and there, but they all said, we were all there that night, this is what happened, he killed her, we hid the body, blah, 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 blah. The problem is, those things aren't admissible in court.
Mm-hmm.
The also fucked up thing is, when they followed up on these claims, they went to the guy's house, they found, you know, bloodstained clothes, they found the, what could possibly be the murder weapon, also had blood on it, but again, due to the delay in finding out all this, all the blood and everything came back inconclusive. They don't know whose blood it was. But again, the story kind of supports that, okay, the blood-soaked clothes, what looks like the murder weapon, these guys confirmed they were there, we didn't know any of this before, it all seems like it's true, oh, but we can't tell any of this in court because it's not admissible. And so the trial was tried based on all these other facts that were conclusively determined, and ultimately the blame came back on the parents. The parents were pushing the cops for justice. There was a lot of failings throughout the process, and ultimately what a lot of people say now, what the family's saying now, is the reason why the parents were targeted is because they were essentially going public about the police and their failings with this case. So in order to save themselves from looking bad, they needed to find a scapegoat, and they're, you know, putting the parents on trial for their murder. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what the outcome of this is. That's what's going on in real life. The controversy with the two movies. Rahasya clearly is, you know, the premise is based on this real life story. There's no denying that. Mm-hmm. The movie itself, based on, Kathy, you'll agree with me, is nothing like what happened in real life.
No, and it has both movies actually use that, you know, the common disclaimer of this movie is an act of a work of fiction, not based on the real life of.
Well, everyone has that. I think Avatar had that. So.
I think I've seen that on biopics that are specifically made and endorsed by the person about whom the movie is made. So
which is weird.
I guess it can cover like things like dialogue, like.
I also think it's legal for like the supporting characters, because it's like, mm-hmm. if you were one of the real life people that had interactions with this person, you don't want them coming up going, "Where's my money?"
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I think they have to kind of do that just to kind of cover their asses. But
so both movies have those disclaimers, but Rahasya is so much. I don't know. It's
purely
so,
fiction.
It's so different. It's not. You can't. It would be a stretch to say that you could really conclude anything about the real case from what.
No, at all. I mean, especially again, like I said, Rahasya is not meant to be a depiction of what happened, because even at the end of Talwar, you left with the feeling that, oh shit, like this wasn't resolved, like mm-hmm. this is terrible, like there was some sort of injustice. I mean, depending on your interpretation, and that's all Talwar is, right? It gives you these theories. It doesn't conclusively say what happened either way, but. It resolves the story, but you still come off going, fuck, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that happened. Whereas Rahasya goes, here's a bow, you know, here's a box.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this to you. Enjoy, guys. Thank you for watching the movie. So, but the fucked up thing, though, is, so when they made Rahasya, the makers, I mean, they made it for like a year before. The makers, I think there was a court case filed against the makers first. And I'll put the link of this story in the show notes as well for everyone else to follow. But the makers were given a court notice saying, your movie's too much like this real-life incident, by one of the family members of, you know, the real-life people that this happened to. So the filmmaker said, okay, great, you know, we understand, you know, but we'll show you the movie. Show you the movie, you can see how it has nothing to do with your family, and that way you'll remove the court notice. They showed the movie to the person, to the family member. The family member said, this is fine, but here's the changes we want you to make in order to make the story more, you know, according to how we want it to be released. And the filmmaker at that point said, the director said, well, I can't do that. The movie's done. It's going to be too expensive for us to go reshoot things and change it for your perspective. Right. Besides, the movie has nothing to do with you guys anyway. It's just the premise may be similar, but everything else beyond that point is completely different. At this point, a huge legal case ensued. The family member wasn't happy. They're preventing the movie from coming out. Eventually, you find out later on, well, the director finds out, this is all, again, his version of what happened. Manish Gupta, he essentially claims that it was actually Vishal Bhardwaj and his production company who were funding the court case against his movie simply because they were making a movie on the similar incident as well, and they wanted their movie to be on the forefront of people's minds, which is why they tried to essentially sabotage Rahasya from releasing. And Kathy, what do you, I mean, again, this is, like I said, this is all allegations, this is all accusations and things like that. What do you think, based on these movies, what do you think are any sort of weight to these, what do you think about this controversy in general?
Well, I guess it's, you know, it's tough to prove, like you said, this is, these are just Gupta's allegations that it was Bardwaj behind everything, which, you know, maybe it was. I'm sure he's had a very successful career and has made quite a bit of money. But what seems so funny and misguided about it is, especially considering, like you said, that this Rahasia was done sometime in probably early 2014. So yeah. The court cases wind up delaying it. So it came out just like 9 months ahead of Talwar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something tell, you know, you get this, having watched the movies, I could see people enjoying Rahasia, forgetting about it. And then 2 years later going, oh, look, here's Talwar about that real life murder case, and not going, oh, gee, Rahasia already did this story. Please.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna think that, especially when it's like, you know, big time writer, Meg Nicholsar directing it, and, yeah, you know, big time stars in it. It was never really a threat. And so that's where I obviously have no way of knowing if Bardwaj really was funding this.
Yeah.
But I would imagine he would be smart enough to know it's not worth me wasting time and giving more publicity to this small potatoes movie.
Exactly.
It just seems like it was really, I could see it more from the family's perspective, if they're all worried about reputations and all that, even though you just, unfortunately, when crimes are public, you don't necessarily have control over how the story is then told. I mean, you know, Law and Order does this all the time, ripped from the headlines, you know, that exactly. kind of stuff. But it seems like a really misguided attempt that cost both parties a lot of money to fight for something that, where Rahasia was never a threat to Talwar.
And also, I mean, if you take a look at, I mean, there's also the allegations of the fact that Talwar was made with not only the, you know, I don't want to say blessing, but not only the approval of the family, the real life family, but there's also claims that Vishal Bhardwaj might have even paid them or taken money from them. So there's basically sort of like a rumor, the fact that both parties have a vested interest in Talwar, especially the people that the story is based on, have an actual stake in the portrayal of events in the movie, because it throws light on their real life case, which is, again, like I said, there's something they've been trying to do. They've been trying to gain awareness with the case, so to help their appeal process, get public favor on their side. Whereas when you look at Talwar, and like I said, I read, you know, before Talwar even came out, before I saw Talwar, months before I read up about the entire case, I'm blown away. When I was watching Talwar, I was completely blown away by the fact that Talwar manages to include every minute detail of the actual case, of what actually happened, never saying either way, you know, conclusively, but every tiny little thing that, you know, I poured over the pages of that, you know, during that week, is in Talwar. The minor, the golf club details, the painting of the apartment, the things that you don't think would necessarily be included when you're adapting a story into a movie, things that you don't think would really matter, is included in Talwar, like painstakingly excruciating minutiae of the real life case.
And really deftly so. I mean, it's a really well
done. Yeah, and amazingly so. Yeah, not like it's, I'm not saying it was crammed in there.
Yeah.
Very subtly, very much in keeping to the story.
And and this was one of my favorite movies of last year. Absolutely, you know, top five. And it's, you get the sense, even as it goes along, what's so frustrating about it, which, and I like that the ending is kind of frustrating, is that the CBI goes through their second investigation. There's a great, great scene where Irfan and his retired former boss are just laughing as the new Paul and his new team are laying things out, and they're just cracking up.
I love
up.
That, yeah.
And even the new CBI director thinks it's funny, and they determine that there's nothing to prosecute. They're like, we just can't do it. We can't come to a consensus. And it's the judge that's like, listen, you filed this case. You're going to try it. And they go to court with the evidence they have that is now pointing toward the parents. And the judge is like, okay, parents are guilty. And you're just like, what? Like, yeah. I just spent 2.5 hours watching how it. You can't prove that. Like, you know, the reasonable doubt exists in abundant amount.
In every scenario, yeah.
And so it's just kind of like, you get that shot of a bewildered-looking Konkana walking into jail at the end, and you're just like, well, this sucks. And it's good because it kind of... there's so much blame to go around. Like, the court should have never allowed it to go to trial. The police screwed up the investigation. The CBI screwed up the investigation on every end, even in the end where they believe the parents are innocent. So, and it's just like, there's no reason why they should be in jail, and that's how it ends. And I think that's, you know, maybe that's serving the interest of the family, but it also seems to be serving the interest of the truth.
Yeah, and that's so my takeaway from that was that, right? The fact that, well, is this movie at the end of the day, if rumors are to be believed, like, do you think this is helping their case a little bit in any way?
I think it can't hurt, that's for sure. I mean, it's at least just, it's because they're not saying the parents, you know, because it's not definitive, like, the parents couldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm.
That they're just saying you can't legally charge them with this. I think that's probably the more... because my perception from watching both movies and having read about it, I think there certainly is a possibility that the parents did it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, and so that's... But that the point is, you can't... Reasonable doubt exists, and it's just... I think Indian rule of law is similar enough to the American rule of law in that with reasonable doubt, you can't convict them, especially not for... a life sentence. So I mean, I think this is probably setting up their grounds for appeal, and it's making a really strong case.
But I think that's also the reason why, I mean, again, if we are to believe that, you know, the makers of Tulva tried to stall the makers of Rahasya in that movie, I think that's also the same reason that you could understand why they would do that, because in Rahasya you do have, again, it's a well-told conclusive story that ends with, you know, the mom did it, you know. So I can understand why, if you were trying to portray your version of events and leave room for reasonable doubt, you don't want a story that can be seen by the audience as giving a version of events and saying that this is what happened, because then those people are unlikely to probably change their mind and listen to that reasonable doubt, you know what I mean?
Right.
Especially if, you know, you're beating them to the punch before your movie comes out. So right. I get that, but at the same time, I feel like the audience of both these movies are different, though.
Well, and especially when you watch Rahasya, and let's, you know, just to explain the ending in full, the mom did it, but she did it because her husband had been having an affair the whole time with the maid who was the real mother of
the kid.
Which, by the way, I love.
I know, that was amazing.
That they try having, I guess the mom and dad try having, unsuccessful at having a kid, and the dad just shows up one day and he's like, hey, I adopted this kid.
Yeah.
This orphan.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Where's the paperwork? The mom's like, I would be like, don't I have to sign something? Like, this is.
No, bitch, I bring you a baby, you raise it.
Yeah, it is my favorite random baby adoption since Mithun found that baby in the garbage can in Gunda.
or double the fact when Govinda finds the kids in Kill Bill, right?
Ooh, so, yeah, exactly. That's a good one too.
I always had a problem with that scene. I'm like, are they brothers? Are they what?
Yeah.
They're dumpster friends?
Yeah, whatever.
But no, it's the thing is, for me, that was part of the novelty of Rahasya, right? That was part of the outrageous. I mean, even the premise of, you know, she had the kid, and then you bring the kid home and go to my wife, this is our kid, I'm just adopting it, and then it's like, hey, you want to see your kid? Come live as a maid with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what the fuck? Like.
And then he's cheating on both the wife and the maid. And then the mom gets the cops involved.
Oh my
god!
And
has the cop kill the girl's boy. Like, it's just, it's so out there.
But it was so good, right? But that's what I mean, right? It's like, that was almost like a pulpy sort of, you know, B grade sort of a movie where, and again, all the characters seem to be hamming it up, but it's great. And then Talwar was more of like the, you know, like the Oscar bait type of movie where it's like, this is all talk, this is all dramatic stuff. There's like, you know, three scenes of like actual brutal action, but then majority of it's just people talking, you know, and then, it's all circumstantial.
Oh, and you have the way it's shot, you have the great, really minimal use of background music, and Barbara loved the background music for that. That's great. I mean, it's like, it's just so well made.
And again,
in contrast
to what I was saying about Rahasya, which is just like, you know, da-na-na, 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 and you're like, what? So ultimately, yeah, I don't, I mean, like I said, we'll never know about the controversy about what the truth really is, but at the end of the day, I don't understand why both these movies can't coexist given how different they are.
Well, and you have to look then too at the ultimate box office for both of them, and this is just Indian, because Rahasia didn't even open in the U.S. Talwar did, but in India, Talwar made like 300 million rupees, which works out, at least in today's exchange rate, would be about $4.4 million. So that's a good haul. Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, do you know what the budget was? Like, you know, based on how much they spent?
No, that's a good question, though. I don't, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it had to be, obviously, they had to spend more because they've got, you know, the bigger
camera. Yeah, exactly.
You know, behind the camera and in front of the camera. Rahasia made 9,700,000 rupees, which is about $144,000. So Talwar made 30 times the amount of Rahasia. Even if, you know, like, there was never a competition. You can't say that the court case, like the holdups, like hurt Rahasia to the point. It didn't hurt Rahasia's business by 30%, you know,
100%,
by a multiple of 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so it was just never going to be significant. And I don't, you know, maybe the court case helped Rahasia. Maybe it actually did better because of the notoriety from it. Maybe it did worse, who knows? But at any point, like, this ultimately was not a battle worth fighting.
So, with the real-life controversy made into a movie and the controversy about the movie, how would I throw another one on there? Do you think it's at all likely that Manish Gupta, the maker of Rahasia, maybe even courted the controversy to get more, you know, media attention for his smaller movie, which he knew maybe would never be able to compete with Talwar, but hey, let me throw this shit out there.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that may very well be the case. I mean, there's no downside, really. I mean, as long as he can afford to fight the court battle, or if he's got other, you know, investors who are willing to do so, can't hurt.
Especially because you also take the silence of anyone that made Talwar. And even if they did fight this court case, and they did it through a third-party means, never again making themselves known, they're very aware, right, that we don't even need to respond to this. We don't even need to give it any sort of attention, because our movie's got Kangana Sen Sharma, it's got Irfan Khan, it's got, you know, all these other actors. It's being directed by Meghna Gulzar. It's being produced by Vishal Bhardwaj, you know. We don't need to, it's opening at a fucking international film festival. We don't need to respond to that. So, and based on that, it does seem like, I mean, it, again, just like the real life incident, it almost feels like there's credence to both theories, that maybe Manish Gupta just wanted attention for a small movie and, you know, wanted to, it's kind of like that attention, like that, you know, deferred attention, where it's like, my movie's not based on this thing. It's like, did anyone ask you about that? it's like, I don't know where people are, and it's like, wait, but, huh? So, whereas anyone from Talwar's side hasn't said peep, but that also kind of, you know, silences, you know, silence can be also seen as, you know, guilt, right? So
yeah,
so that's interesting.
So it had the effect of getting us to talk about it, and a lot of other people to talk about both movies, so maybe it was good for everybody.
Maybe it was, you never know. So but definitely, again, check these movies out though, guys. Like, I would love to hear everyone else's thoughts on it, and how they liked either movie or both movies, or just adding to this conversation. So I urge everyone to watch these two movies and join the conversation. Let me know what you guys thought. Come up with your own conspiracy theories if you guys want. I'm all for that. But that's basically it for this episode. Kathy, thank you so much again for being a part of this.
My pleasure.
We will return with some other things as well. There's like a real life controversy about two other movies brewing today, literally from like a week ago. So it's really interesting. It's just, I mean, it's great for me because you give me all these movies to kind of discuss and analyze. So hopefully Kathy will be back for some of those. And in the meantime, Kathy, let people know where they can get a hold of you.
You can find me at accessbollywood.com, and I am on Twitter at Kathy F. Gibson.
All right, and also you can find this episode and this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and now Google Play Music with Split Screen Podcast. You can also follow the show on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Check out the website blankpagebeatdown.com for all the episodes if you don't have any sort of podcasting app. Like the Facebook page also, Blank Page Beatdown. And you can follow me personally on Twitter at the Shah Shahid.